Good afternoon, folks. Welcome you to Sadot, Alaska, to the AAJC Ministries live stream. Glad to have you aboard. Today is a special day, a day that we honor our mothers for all they give 24/7, all year long, and all their life. And we are really blessed here to have a really bunch of beautiful spiritual women leading our children in the way they should go. And it's a little different today. Our pastor Buck usually gives them all a hug and calls them up in front, gives them a rose, and makes them feel as special as he can for this time of the year. And, we have a dinner to the boys, and the men put on a nice dinner for the ladies, and we cater it all. We try to treat them like fine gold. This year is a little different with the virus going on and everything. We've changed our style a little bit. As far as the rose goes, I happen to bring one with me. And this one here is for all you ladies out there in cyberland that can't be with us. We love you and appreciate all you do. Thank you. Well, I was researching this Mother's Day message. I came across a lot of things about mothers that I've really never thought that much about. And the longer I looked into it, the more I thought, man, I don't even realize what a mother does and how much they give to their, not only their family, but all their children especially. And it's the first love that the child ever feels is from its mother. And from the moment that she's pregnant for that 9 months, there's a constant body and soul joining together there. And she loves that baby and hasn't even seen it yet to the point where she'd even give her life for it. And God instilled that in not only mankind, but animals and everything else. They're very protective of their young. And I saw a really cool video on the internet the other day. It was from Alaska. I think it might even be in Swanson River out here, close to where we live. Man, I've been here for 40 some years and never realized this myself. That this man was standing on a bridge, taking a movie, probably with his phone, and here comes the mom and, you know, two little babies. They couldn't be over a week old, and they're marching right down this stream. And he's watching them, and she's constantly looking in the brush, both sides. And they come to the bridge, and they go under the bridge, and he films them until they go out of sight, go around the bend in the stream. And people were commenting about it. And somebody that really knows about wildlife said, she's protecting her young. They walk in the water like that so the bears and wolves can't smell the scent from the babies. And that's how they protect them. And I never knew that. I thought that was a beautiful thing, man. That God put that even in the animal kingdom to love their little ones and protect them, even lay their life down for them. You know? How much more so a human being? That God is filled with His Spirit and blessed her with children. Because having children is a blessing. I mean, everybody is not able to have children. And if you have children, it's a blessing, and it should always be looked at that way. I saw another little thing about Abraham Lincoln. I'll have to read that one, though. If I can find it here. Where did I put that rascal at? I got it here somewhere. Where is it at? Well, anyway, I can remember most of it. Abraham Lincoln said, if you have a godly mother, you're never poor. And he said, the way she taught me, clung to me, and was with me all my life, even when I wasn't doing right, but I still remembered the things that my mom taught me and how to live a holy life. And he wound up being president of the United States. And so that really touched my heart when he said, if you have a godly mother, you're never poor. And that's true. You can't buy salvation. That's from God, and it's personal. And it's, the only way you can get that kind of relationship is just between you and God. Nobody can give it to you. And I thought that was a beautiful thing. I'm going to read a few things here that I saw while I was studying this thing about a mother's love. And that, by the way, the name of this message is A Mother's Love. It says, a mother's love is unconditional. Her instinct to protect her child begins the moment she realizes she's pregnant. We already talked about the 9 months where they're bonding there before they even see each other. And it's unconditional. That love does not depend on a child's circumstances or characteristics, which means, you know, some children are born handicapped. Some children are born with special needs. That doesn't take away from the love of a mother. She loves them just the same, probably even a little bit more in some ways, because she has more compassion and understanding about the trials and things that they're going to have if they haven't already been having them. And so it takes a special kind of woman to be a good mother or a grandmother. We don't want to leave any grandmothers out or anybody that has anything to do with raising kids today, because they're all part of their life, and it stays with them all of their life. And it's a very important part, especially the teaching them about love, because we'll touch on that a little bit later, but it takes a lot of love, compassion, long-suffering, a lot of the fruits of the Spirit to raise a child and raise them the way that they should be raised. And those are the type of things that last for a person's lifetime. You wind up being the person from your gene pool and the way you're raised. That's the type of person you wind up being, and also the things you experience while you're going through life. It talks about the sacrifices a mother makes for her family. It doesn't make any difference if they're working out of the home. I mean, a husband and wife should be working together. The wife was never created to be down and the man up and all that stuff. They were created, if they're both spiritual, to walk side by side. And the role of the father in there is, if things aren't spiritual, they need to step in and make them spiritual. But as far as them being dominant in the house and all that, that's not scripture. You're supposed to be, there's no, neither bond nor free. There's no respecter of persons with God when you've got His Spirit inside. It should be a unit working 24/7 together to have a holy environment for your children. And you should be raising them up, not only to be productive in this world, but to be productive spiritually. I mean, that's another thing that a mother does, is she cultivates her children. She sees her ability. She tries to motivate them to try different things, to bring all that stuff out, that they can be a productive citizen in the United States, where they're not on welfare and they're not on all these things. They're out there, they're carrying their load, and they uplift the economy. They uplift everybody around them. That's what a mother does. She has the closest contact with her kids of anybody. And it's a very demanding job, and very, the obligation is great with God, because, well, we'll see that in a few of the scriptures that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But God set this all up in an orderly way where our children can be productive. When they get out, when they leave the house, they should be able to not only take care of themselves, but they should be spiritually sound enough where they can live on their own and still stay close to God. And I know there's times that some of our kids fall flat on their face, but the scriptures teach, well, I'll go into some of them scriptures in a little bit, but they teach that if you're one of God's, there's always hope for you. And He'll do whatever it takes in the end to bring you back around. I mean, there's scripture for that. And I love God for His mercy and His long suffering with us, and the way He loves His creation. He doesn't want us to fail. And as parents, we do fail. I know I'm a lot better grandfather now than I was a dad. But I learned a lot as a father. I tried to do my best, but, you know, hey, they put erasers on pencils for a reason. Everybody needs one once in a while. And I've made my mistakes, and you can't go back and undo them. So the Bible teaches you can't fix anything from yesterday, but you can sure fix it today and in the future do better. So He's a positive God. You know, a lot of people I know have made a few mistakes, and they can't get past that. I always go back to the scriptures in Samuel where David, he failed a few times, but he had a tremendous amount of faith and love for God. And even though he had to go through a really, really tough time the rest of his life, he never gave up. He kept fighting and got around to where God called him again, "You're a man after my own heart." And that's what we want to be, a man or a woman. The Bible uses man a lot in the Bible, but it means mankind. It means men, women, and children, young adults. It means all of us. And it's a beautiful life to live for God. I've said it before, and I'll probably say it till the day I die. I love living for God. He covers all the bases. All the things that you can't do, He can do for you if you put Him first. And I'm a living testimony of that. I love Him for taking the pressure off me. Do what you can do, and He does the rest. You some things you can't fix. There's no way you can fix them. God can fix them. There's a scripture about all things are possible in God. That's true. He will always work out what's best for His people. And all we got to do is, as I read these scriptures, we all have different callings. We all have different skills. And because I'll read a little bit in Proverbs 31 where it talks about a virtuous woman. Well, everybody doesn't have all the skills that are in there, but everybody's got some of those. The main thing that we have to remember is not to look at each other, but to look at God and try to do the very best that He created us to be. The personal relationship that we have with God, that's what we have to cultivate, not our brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or anybody else. We need to cultivate our relationship with God. Because when God's happy with you, you're happy and you can handle anything. I mean, even when the things are really bad, you still have promises that God will not let them go any farther than they're going. And then He will work everything out for good of His people. And that's a beautiful thing, man. This world is so dark anymore. So much anger out there. So much dissension. It's hard for me to even watch TV anymore. I mean, this is not the world that I grew up in. And the people, the young people that are here now do not have any idea what it was like to grow up when I was young. So I have a lot more compassion and understanding towards them because they've never experienced the things that I've experienced. And those really were the good old days. They were even better than I thought they were. The darker things get, the more I think, wow. And then we'll just talk about the last 4 or 5 months. How fast things can change. I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons about this virus and stuff. But it's almost like a snapshot of what it could be like, what it will be like, in these end days of sorrows when God is coming back. These are signs. I mean, it might not be exactly the way it's portrayed on social media, but these are signs, and it shows you just how fast things can change. The only hope anybody has is God. Get as close to Him as you can be and stay there. Because without that, I don't care what you do, how much money you got, what you got stored up, whatever. If you're not right with God, it doesn't make any difference. I've said it before. I was with several people when they passed away. All they had on was their hospital nightgown. That's all they took with them. They didn't even take that with them, but that's all they had right before they checked out. What would a man or a woman give for their soul? There's no price. There is no price for that. We get so caught up in things of this world, going places, doing things, gaining things, buying things. And God's on the back burner. That's not going to work. It's not going to work. And people might get tired of hearing it, but I have to teach and preach what I feel from God in prayer. And if it's not what people want to hear, I am sorry. You have to give an account for your life. I have to give one for mine. And I have to give an account for what he puts on my heart to teach. If I don't do that, I might as well not even be behind here. So, I mean, that's the whole thing in a nutshell right there. He says, feed my sheep, and I'm doing my very best to try to do that. And, you know, I get fed totally myself when I'm just studying this stuff. Like, all the things that I've learned studying this thing, this day, this teaching, or half of these things, I've never even realized that a woman has to go through all these things, that how thin she's spread a lot of times and never says a word. How much pain they endure. They don't cry and whine about stuff. They just go through there. It's a known fact that women can handle pain more than guys can. In fact, I've seen a few jokes about it where this woman really, really in bad shape, and you know, she barely groans, and here's her husband over there with a little poo-poo on his finger, and he's whining like, wow. And it's true. I've seen it in action, and I've probably been guilty of it myself. But women are strong. They know all of their stuff and most of our stuff too. I've learned a ton of things from my wife after I swallowed my pride a little bit and started listening to what she had to say. The best way to get a guy's attention is to hit him in the wallet. And so not listening to her cost me quite a few bucks a few times. But even the ladies in this church, the things they do, the way they organize things, where I've been a part of a lot of that, I don't think about that kind of stuff. I can do it now because somebody already showed me. But before that, I mean, they're bang, bang, bang. They know how to do stuff. And, you know, I got blinders on, man. This is where I'm going. Women see the whole picture. Anyway, I'm in awe of womanhood and motherhood. And much, much more so now that I've looked into this here. That's another thing I saw in studying. A woman, the mother, and this here I know from experience. The mother is the queen of the house, okay? When she's gone, it's almost like the lights are off in that place. It's dull. It's boring. There's nothing going on. You're just sitting there like a slug. When she's home, there's action. There's things going on. I mean, the lights are on. I mean, it's true. And one time my wife said to me, now, the house is mine, and that garage out there that's a mess is yours. You could go out there and play in that thing, but I want everything neatly in order in this house. So do me a favor and us a favor. Pick up after yourself and help me out here. So I started getting a whole different view about what's happening in the house. Because without her, it would be a shambles. I know how I am. As good as I try to do things, it wouldn't be a woman's way. Different times we had apartments and stuff over the years. I mean, guys. And, you know, one of the mothers or something would come over and they'd look at the place and they'd say, this place needs a woman's touch. But I didn't even realize what that meant that much until I started studying this teaching. Women are awesome. They really are. They're an awesome, awesome creation from God. And I'm proud to be married to a beautiful lady and daughter the same way, and just sisters, all my brothers and sisters, all my sisters in the church, my brothers, your day is coming. Today is Women's Day. Anyway, let's look at a few scriptures here real quick. And we're here today to honor our mothers, so let's start out in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 1 through 3. I'll read these slow so everybody can get their Bibles and their scriptures together. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. See, so God, when you honor your mom and dad, there's a promise that goes with that. Not only is that the right thing to do, there's a promise that goes with that. He said that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, that's an awesome promise, because everybody don't have that promise. If you're not living for God, it's trial and error. If you're living for God, he's got total control of your life. So whatever, whenever, and whatever happens to you, he allows, as long as you stay in his perfect will. And isn't that a beautiful thing? That just, you can't watch your kids 24/7, but you can definitely bank on God to keep his eye on. There's so many times that I know, not only in our family, but different ones, that if God hadn't intervened, they wouldn't be here today. It's only because of God they are here. You hear all these stories where kids tell their parents when they're 40 or 50 years old all the things that they've done when they were younger. And their parents are taken back. You did that? You did this? Boy, I'm glad I didn't know about that. But see, God did. God keeps his hand on you. Them guardian angels are called that for a reason. Let's go to Proverbs. Is it Proverbs? 22nd chapter. And we're only going to read one verse here. And this is an obligation, not only for the mom, but for the parents, period. And this here, I haven't seen the total results of this. I've seen the results, I have seen some results in it, but I have family members that I'm banking on this scripture right here. I don't know what it's going to take, when it's going to be done or anything else, but this scripture's in the Bible, and everything that's in here is going to come true. I know that without a shadow of doubt. That's exactly how I feel about God and his word. 22nd chapter of Proverbs, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, so quite a few of our kids have been raised in this church. I've been here for 40-some years. Some of them had to go out and sow their wild oats and then come back like the prodigal child. Some of them aren't back yet. But I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to save our kids. I believe that. It says it right here. I believe it. But it's heartbreaking, some of the things that go on. And all you can do is turn them over to God and pray for them every day and trust him that he will take care of his business for our children. And that's a beautiful thing, man. Because people in the world do not have that promise. And people in the world have a lot of problems with their children. We're no different. But we do have promises, and we have a God that watches 24 hours a day. That's what we have. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, we'll start with verse 5 and through 9. I'll wait just a second so everybody can catch up here. Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, verse 5. And this is a commandment from God. This is not, well, it might be nice. This is what God's word tells us that we need to do. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And you shall talk to them when they sitteth at thine house, which we're talking about supper time or just sitting in the living room. God needs to be brought up in conversation. That's something I notice anymore, that you could talk about God for about 2 minutes and then I want to go over here, okay? Or I want to go over there. But God, he says that you need to have him in your mind. And I'll tell you what helps me a lot is music. If I listen to, well, I'll just call it Jesus music or Christian music, it keeps me focused. even when I don't even have to try to think about it, and it just happens. And I notice that if I don't listen to, you know, music for 4 or 5 days, that I don't really miss it. I don't pay that much attention to it. Then pretty soon, when it comes back on, next thing I know, God's moving on me, and I'm bouncing around. I don't even realize until I'm back. But that helps you. That helps you keep your mind on God. It really does. And you don't have to even try. You just hear the words while you're working. Verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and they and shall talk of them when they sit down in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down. Pray with your kids before they go to sleep at night. Go in there and read them a Bible verse when they're little. But have a family prayer time. This stuff's important. I know it's busy, going here, going there, but we have to make time for God. We have to. If we're going to be close to Him, we got to talk to Him. We got to get it figured out, because He's the only one that's got the answers to all this complex stuff that goes on in everybody's life daily. And the more you got going, the more it happens. I think about, I'm retired now. I don't have a lot of that stuff in my mind I had on before. And I think about some of the ways I could have changed that. Even though I had a lot going on in my mind, work-wise, I could have done this or done that and been a little more spiritual about a few of these things, but I didn't do it at the time. But looking back at it, I got some regrets. I really do. I could have been closer to God, and things would have worked out a little better for me in a few situations, too. But anyway, we can't live in the past, but you learn, like Buck said one time, he was counseling somebody, and they got up and went, they left. I mean, you could tell that probably went in one ear and out the other. And he knew it, too, and he just shook his head with a real sad look on his face. He says, I got $1 million worth of knowledge and experience, and I can't give it away. Most of the things in this life that you learn from experience. People can tell you about them, but you know better. Or you haven't experienced it yet, this generation's different, whatever. But most of the things you'll learn in this life, unless you're willing to listen and really, really try it out, you're going to learn the hard way. And you don't have to. I mean, you gain a lot more ground if you listen and walk cautiously than you do just walk out there and say, okay, let's find out. But the merciful God we have and the loving God we have, He'll bring you back in. Verse 8. 6th chapter, Deuteronomy, verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on the gates. And I put down fridge here, because a lot of times my wife will put scriptures up on the refrigerator. And that, I mean, everybody goes in the refrigerator, so you're going to see them. And it's a good idea to keep little stuff around there to, you know, trigger that. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I did, when I said on the gates, I put fridge. So that's what I use. But anyway, you know, I'm glad God's got a sense of humor. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Verse 14 to 17. Second Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. The last part of that thing means that we should be able to go out in the world, not only in our own life to understand what's going on, how to deal with stuff, but we should be able to lead somebody to God with the scriptures. Right here in black and white, we should be able to, no matter what they ask us, we should be able to give them a spiritual answer. That's what this learning is for. We learn how to do that stuff. That's our parents teach us these scriptures. Our Sunday school teachers teach us. Church at night, the teachings, the preachings, they teach us. But we're obligated to pass that on. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy here. I mean, he loved Timothy, but he still had to remind him that this is what we're all about. This is what you need to be doing. So let's turn over to Proverbs 31 real quick here. And we'll start at verse 10 when we get there. And this is what I was talking about earlier, that everything that's said in here, everybody doesn't have that particular talent to that extent. We can do all this stuff, maybe a little here, a little there, but when I studied this, one of the little captures was there. It says, "Oh, Lady of God on steroids." That's what it says. It's pretty much what's going on here, man. She's got it handled, man. She does it all. But then, while I was studying this, I found out this is actually a song. From verse 10 to verse 30 is a song that the Jewish people on Friday night sing their wives. It's to praise them and thank them for all the efforts that they make during the week and all that. They actually do this. And I forget the name of what they call that, but it's every Friday night they get together and they sing this song to their wife, which I had no idea it was a song, but I'd like to hear the song sometime. Anyway, we'll read this here and just look at some of the attributes that this lady had. It says, Proverbs 31, verse 10. And this virtuous woman, if you chain it out, it's actually a woman of God that's full of value, that's a valuer, that has value in her life. And it's amazing how these words are interchanged sometimes. And if you really go back and look at the old definition in the Greek or Hebrew, and then you look at what's in the Bible now, you get a bigger picture, a better picture of really what this is all about. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. That means you don't have to worry about nothing. He trusts his wife. She's going to take care of his business. He doesn't have to. I've known guys who've been on the job and they're over on the phone every 5 minutes because they don't know what's going on at the house. This woman doesn't do that to her husband. He can go out there and he can concentrate on what he's doing and know that his house is going to be taken care of. Verse 12 goes right along with it. And she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. I mean, she's very productive. She's not lazy. She makes everything count. She redeems her time. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. That means that she'll go and do whatever it has to do to supply. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion of to her servants. And that means that she's not only is she not lazy, she's generous. She takes care of whoever has a need. She takes care of it. Verse 16, and she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. That means that she's a smart lady. She's got good common sense, and she can go out and buy and do something to be productive in her family. Not to hurt her family, not to buy something that she doesn't need, or buy something that that they can't afford. She's wise. This lady's real wise. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. I looked that up a little bit. In the old days, they had these real floppy kind of, almost like a skirt. And if you really wanted to get something done, you would cinch them up around you where they were tight enough where they weren't flopping around. And then it'd give you a lot more flexibility and strength to do the job. And so, like I said, this woman's on steroids. She's awesome, man. Verse 18, and she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. And that means that she knows her self-worth. And she doesn't let anything take that away from her. She doesn't guess about where she's at with God, where she's at with her family. She knows what she's humble, but she's very efficient. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the staff. And I looked that up too, and that's the material that's on the roll. She's not only is she running the spindle, she's holding all the material. She's doing everything. Verse 20, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yeah, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. And that means that she's aware of what's going on around her. If she sees a need, she takes care of it. She doesn't, she's not out there waving a flag, hey, I did this, I did that. She just takes care of it. If God wants to give her a pat on the back where people see it, fine. But she doesn't need that. She knows her self-worth, and she does everything under God. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And that means that she's, there we go again, she's got it all taken care of, man. She's got everything supplied that her family would need, clothing-wise, if it's cold, or tank tops if it's warm out. I mean, she's got it down. Verse 22, and she maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Okay, that sounds like she's really high up here, but scripture-wise, that means that she does the very best with what she has. If God's provided with her a nicer dress than normal, well, fine. But whatever God has allowed her to have, that's what that means. She does what she can, and God does the rest. And it sounds to me like because of her hard work and everything, God's blessing her and giving her a little cut above the average person. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. That has to do with being unequally yoked, for one thing. She married a guy who's well respected with his brothers and sisters, but she's married in God. She didn't marry outside of God, where it's just a constant. Your priorities in a person in the natural are not the same. They can't be. Now, if you happen to be married one way or the other, your example in your life just might, as long as it's peaceful in your house, your life might win that person to God. But if it doesn't, you still have an obligation there to be all you can be in God for them. You never know what's going to happen 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But what she's saying here is she married in God to a guy that loves God just like she does, and he's well-respected in the community. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivered girdles unto the merchants. And she's a businesswoman. She's got that down too. She's not only does she sew and collect whatever, she knows how to sell it and who to sell it to and where to get the best buck. That's why she's a virtuous woman. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. See that scripture, you reap what you sow. You might not be reaping what you sow right now where everybody can see it, but God sees it. And he'll elevate you when it's time. But even if you never find out in this life, you will in the next one. There's rewards waiting for you in the next life. And she's just banking on, God's just and loving and merciful and all that. And he's a man of his word, or a God of his word, I'll put it that way. And she trusts him for that. She's not out there for a pat on the back. She's out there to just take care of business. Verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. It shows you right here that she's, not only is she kind, you've got kind words, which is hard to find anymore. She teaches people, not only by her example, but she has the wisdom to teach them too. Because you not only do you need to teach by your example, you have to have a conversation that reaches down and touches people's soul, that they actually feel what you're talking about, that they know what you have is real by your life, but they also know by your words. God starts moving on them. His spirit moves on people when you're talking to them. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you're full of the Holy Ghost, and he opens that door, they're going to feel God's spirit. They were going to tell you they have goosebumps, so they might laugh, they might cry, they might whatever. Whatever emotion happens to come out of them at the time, it's because God's spirit is moving on them. And we have to be bold enough to step out like that and trust God enough to step out like that. You're not going to run anybody off of God. If they got a love for the truth, you can't say anything to run them off. They might stumble and fall a little bit, but he says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not hear. He'll bring them back around. If it's 2 weeks from now, 10 years from now, they know his voice. Just bringing it down personally, the first time I ever heard about receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues to give you the power to live an overcoming life, I was goosebumps from my head to my toe and didn't know anything about God. Didn't know nothing about the Bible, nothing. Bing. I thought, if there's a way to get right with God, that has to be the missing link. That's the first thing I thought about. And I've been living for God for 43 years. So I know if he can touch me like that, he don't have any problem with anybody else. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's just constantly looking around and seeing what's best for her family. And she's a very productive woman. She doesn't sit around and chill out. She's a busy lady. And this is what happens when you're like that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That reminds me of that scripture about, you say you have faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. Your actions prove what you have to say. That's exactly what that is all about. It's the way we live our life is the way people see us as far as our words go. Are they really living this stuff, or are they just talking it? And this lady here is going to reap what she sows, because she's a woman of God and she's a virtuous woman. I mean, that's the bottom line. Anyway, it's been a beautiful day out here. The sun's out. I wish you were all here in Soldotna, Alaska, to enjoy this with us. I wish we'd get back in church here pretty soon, maybe. I sure do miss my brothers and sisters. And I love living for God. I didn't realize, I know we're family, okay? We're the family of God no matter where we're at. If we're living this, if we've received the Holy Ghost just like it is there in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the salvation plan in itself is Acts 2:38. Please read the first two chapters of the book of Acts, because it takes that power to live the life that this lady here is living. But there's a brotherhood and a sisterhood that goes with that. Once you're born into the kingdom of God, you're different. You're way different. You don't feel the same. You don't think the same. You're not the same. You're actually born again. And it is such a beautiful life, man. God won't show you all this stuff until you at least try. You gotta be interested. If it's real, I want to know it. If it's not, I'll know that too. mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that's not real. But you look here, and I haven't said one word to you today that's not here in black and white. If anybody tells you anything that's not here in black and white, you need to go somewhere where they do. You need to know the truth, and you need to find out if they have the truth and where you're going to spend eternity at. It should be that important to you. Anyway, I hope God blesses all you mothers today. Love you all, and I'm glad you got on the live stream, and happy Mother's Day.